All right. You may hear that siren. They're not after you. Don't look over your shoulder. Keep your eyes forward. Stay on the road. They're after me. I wish, Roman, your idea of giving listeners a view into the studio during the show, there's certain days that would be pretty funny, what goes on during the breaks. And Romy, I want y'all to try and picture this. Romy and I are in one room together that has four computer screens, multiple buttons, and I can't tell you what any of them are for because they won't let me push any of them. And then in the other side of the sound booth are Mike Reisch, our broadcast engineer, and my wife Jennifer, who takes the call screening. And then behind us in another broadcast studio is the station broadcast engineer that manages the whole station. So Romy is constantly looking at the screen, reading your Twitters, reading your texts, taking texts over his own personal phone, tweeting out, tweeting in. He's constantly consumed with some activity of communication the entire 4 hours we're here. It's my job just to sit in a chair and talk. In this last break, my phone lights up. The Registrar of Contractors texts me.
What'd you say?
He says, "Rosie, you numbskull. I was just there in the studio with you this morning. Rory needs a plumber. Any work that requires a licensed contractor. So, Rory, make sure the handyman you called to do the plumbing."
We should have all caught that one.
"Which I told you would probably be okay. I'm glad Rory didn't give his address out, but the registrar knows where I live."
So,
my phone never rings during the show.
Because plumbing work requires a license, you couldn't do work on plumbing under $1,000 and be legal. Is that correct?
Well, and then the question, if he was still here, maybe I could call him. We could talk on air. At what point is it required plumbing that needs a license? Now, I can understand it when it's soldering or making PEX connections or flex connections and all those. But does it really require a plumbing license to put a sink in, connect it? I guess because of the P-trap and drain and all of that, that's actually more important and more critical to your health than the supply, because if the supply is not working, it's going to leak and it's going to ruin your cabinet again.
But you don't want to smell those drain pipes if they're not vented properly.
That's right. That's right. All right. So Rosie's busted on air, live, and for your entertainment. Can we change the subject now and go to Stuart in Scottsdale, who's been patiently waiting on hold? Mr. Stuart, how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you doing, Rosie?
Good, good, good. You better get your question in before they cuff me.
Okay. Okay, I bought my house 3 years ago, and it was built back in 97, 98, and the original owner sold it to me.
Okay.
And the house originally had, obviously, tile floor, standard grade stuff, and the previous owner put down, like, a pergo-type floor and had different colors, three rooms that didn't match between the hallway, the kitchen, the living room. So we are in the process of replacing it and making it all the same color.
Okay.
And as we pulled it up, noticing a crack in the foundation that runs from sort of the back of the house to the garage and then down the hallway. And part of it has like a layer of silicone or something in there.
Okay. All right.
So I'm worried about bugs coming up through it. And do I put down more silicone? Is it something special?
The previous
owner did not disclose that to me at all.
We're talking to Stuart in Scottsdale about a crack in his concrete floor, and on hold, we've got Bill in Scottsdale that wants to talk about concrete crack in floor. So we'll kind of address the whole issue in one time.
And I don't think that's something that was necessarily required to be disclosed. If all concrete cracks, if it was just a natural crack and they did a patch as they put new flooring on it, and that's standard. If it was a structural crack and you're seeing popping and it's going through the foundation before you purchase it, that's a different story. But to see cracks in concrete with a patch is not
alarming. I'm not sure that's a full disclosure type issue. Here's what I would do, Stuart, and Bill, I'm gonna answer your question at the same time. If I pulled up some flooring, which we do in all, you know, rosy remodeling projects, and I saw a crack in the concrete, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take my 10-foot level, a 10-foot straight edge, and I'm going to lay it perpendicular to the crack, and I'm going to see how much deflection there is in the surface. I'd put the crack right in the middle of a 10-foot straight edge, and I'd rock the straight edge, and I'd determine, okay, is there a quarter inch of deflection here? Is there a half inch of deflection here? What am I having to deal with? Ideally, and many times, the concrete will crack and not deflect at all. And then Stuart's question about I'm concerned about bugs. You should be concerned about bugs. That's what we call conditions conducive for pest infestation. Before we cover that back up with any new floor covering, we have our termite experts come in and treat that crack by drilling a hole every 12 inches on both sides of the crack and saturating the area under it with Termidor before we ever start putting the concrete back. The concrete gets patched and the floor covering goes down. All I addressed everything except what happens when there's a big deflection. If we're over a half inch in 10 feet, boy, that's a lot. And we're going to have to bring in a structural repair specialist. We have two of them you can find at rosieonthehouse.com. Well, folks, that wraps up our show for this October. What is the 15th? And we had fun doing it.
We'll be back on the 22nd.
And
home mortgages.
Meantime, Jennifer and I are going to go get some boudin, watch our LSU Tigers in the home field. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.